You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. We are live at Madison's, and this is The Usual Suspects. The only part he got wrong was no Joel Blank today. Joel had a knife accident. He was trying to juggle knives and chainsaws. I don't know. Since he didn't tell me what it was,
we get to speculate.
I'm just going to make up a new reason every time we come back from break why he almost cut his leg off and his arm off.
It is. Yeah. That's. Yeah. I just look at those pictures, and I'm just like,
bloody mess.
How much blood came out of that big ass leg of Joel's?
I don't know. Good. It's a good thing he didn't cut his head. Boy, it would have bled even worse. But we're here at Madison's. Guys, man, if you're not out here yet, and we've got some suspects out here, shout out to the Popes. What up? Lauren even's like, y'all's chairs look super comfy.
Yeah, we brought them from upstairs.
I feel like a king.
Yeah.
But with no authority or anything.
Yeah, because the table's sitting too high.
Yeah,
so we both
I feel like I'm like typing like
little
this.
Children. Yeah.
But these are comfy chairs. It's a great place to watch the game. You want to watch the place to watch the Astros tonight? Get out here to Madison's. They've got $10 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light until 6 p.m. You don't want to miss that. The food is amazing, I'm told. Somebody said to try the Monte Cristo sandwich. I think I'm going to go with the build your own sampler. Is what I'm going
to
do.
You want to try everything.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, they've got a lot to choose from on there.
Do they have the cheese curds on there?
They do, as a matter of fact.
I don't think I'm going to order it, but I'm interested.
Oh, your inner fat boy would like the fried cheese. I promise you.
Yeah.
So get out here. Madison, still plenty of time. We've got our promotions crew here. They've got Usual Suspects t-shirts. They've got other shirts as well, right? No, just ours? Yeah, screw those other shows.
Why is he wearing the Lance and Raheel shirt? They're not even here, bro.
Well, because remember, they didn't make ours in a 6X. So.
That's not
nice. Now, that wasn't
nice.
That's Who not, said that?
That
I'm
was
sorry.
Barry.
I apologize.
That was Barry Laminack.
You're not just a 5, right?
I've got a question, though.
Okay, what's your question?
Would you hire Bill O'Brien as the Houston Rockets head coach? The hell kind of call was that?
We shouldn't have even addressed the other issues in the call because that one was so dumb. That part of it was so stupid. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Of all the dumb calls we've gotten.
He's going to apply his analytics to football now? Whatever.
When have you ever heard of a GM switching sports? I can't recall. I can't recall of a GM that's like, you know what? I think I've got this old basketball thing mastered, even though I never won a championship. Let me switch over to football and go not win a championship over there.
I can't recall anything like that. No, I can't.
I don't think he's ever going to call back now because we're being mean.
Well, I mean.
We'll be better off.
It'll be all right.
Normally,
we don't take calls on remote, so we were actually being nice.
Yeah, that's true. And we made him hold. Can you believe that? We made him hold through that?
The first question was okay. We addressed it a little bit on yesterday's program and the day before.
Right.
And I'm sure there's going to be more to come out about.
It's not going away.
No, not for a while. Not for a while. Not with international politics being involved. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking about that situation going forward, especially now that the Rockets season is about to kick off too. So
I have a question for you. This is non-sports related. Whatever. I was going to say it's Friday, but it's not. It's Thursday. It doesn't matter. Do you meditate at all?
I do not.
Fred, do you meditate? You do meditate? Now, is that code for smoke weed, or do you actually meditate? You actually meditate. I really want to start meditating.
You should get Fred on to talk about this.
whenever I have challenges in my life where things get stressful or out of whack or I have a lot going on and I feel like there's no calming influence in my life, and I need to meditate, but I don't know how, and I'm told it's hard. But I'm like, how hard can meditating be?
No, it's really not. You just you take yourself to a place where you're calm. So, like, think of something in your life, someplace you've been where, like, you went to the beach or something, you had this moment,
Oh.
And in your mind, you just close your eyes and take yourself to that place to where you were happy, where you were relaxed, where you were serene, and you imagine yourself there, and boom, done.
So now you're telling me every time I meditate, I just got to picture myself pooping. That's
if that's what makes you happy, yeah.
That's just my quiet spot.
Yeah, but
in life.
But for me, it's
the only peace I get.
Yeah, well, it's really easy for me. It's like this cove in Cancun.
Uh-huh.
And where I had, you know, first time I actually traveled somewhere and I had this amazing experience and just staring at the water. And so that's where I take myself. And then, you know, get nice and calm and serene and I don't hate the wife anymore.
That's fantastic.
That's why you meditate? So you don't hate your wife?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
And so I don't strangle half you guys over sports maps.
That's hilarious.
See, but that's why I want to do it. I feel like when – because, you know, this can be stressful and stand-up can be stressful and life can be stressful.
Yeah, but I've got a question, though.
And like, I don't have a way to deal with it. And that's – I mean, yeah, I can, you know, I can smoke weed and I can drink and I do, but
– But that's also temporary.
Yeah.
You need something that's going to get you there all the time when you need to.
Like my wife talked about meditating. She's like, you got to control your breathing. You say a mantra like, today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day.
Man, that's
like,
one way to do it.
That's too much work.
Just try what I told you.
Okay.
It's a lot easier. And you just imagine yourself there, and the next thing you know, you'll be relaxed, and you'll be sitting there chilling.
So you just go into, like, a dark room and do it, or you just...
Sometimes it you know, like, sometimes I'll do it, like, at the sauna at the gym.
Oh, okay.
You know, or...
Oh, that's the worst. You get bacterial infections while you're meditating.
Well, you're not going to be... If you're a germaphobe, you can't meditate,
yeah,
correct?
Never, yeah,
well, but you can do it anywhere. You can do it in your chair at home, whatever.
Okay.
So I just don't feel like I have the patience to do it. Don't you have
That's the whole point. It gives you patience.
But don't you feel like you have to possess a certain amount of patience before you can even consider meditating?
Well,
is that a fair question?
It is, but how do you think you're going to get that patience?
Exactly.
You
got
to
build up
it.
To it. My wife, because my problem is I have a hard time turning the old brain off. And that's the whole point of meditating is you clear your mind. You don't think of anything. I'm like, how could I not think of anything?
Well, here's
I'm always going to be thinking
of
something.
Here's how you clear your mind. You imagine... You're walking backwards down three stairs, right?
Okay.
And when you get to the bottom, it's going to take you to that place you're going. And you just count backwards, 3, 2, 1. And when you get there, your mind is completely blank.
Oh, wow. I feel like you're about to hypnotize our listeners.
No, it's just something I've been doing for a long time.
Yes.
Especially, as you know, I have a little bit of a stressful job.
You do?
And that helps
very
me,
much so.
That helps me relax. And like I said, sometimes in the gym, like I said, you won't go in a sauna, but I'll sit in there and do it there. I'll do it at home sometimes. It just depends. When things are getting to the point where I want to punch something.
Yeah.
Which is,
every
know,
day.
Every other day at least, yeah. Yeah. Today I wanted to punch some people over sports map stuff.
What happened? Dish, we want the dirt.
Yeah, we love it.
Was it Joel? Please.
No, it wasn't Joel.
Did you cut Joel because of an article? Did you stab him in the leg?
I did not
stab
Joel.
Oh, that would have been the best.
Yeah, what the hell happened there?
I don't know.
We're waiting on details.
He was trying to jump a barbed wire fence. he stole somebody's chickens, and then he jumped a fence and cut his leg. I'm making up a new excuse every time.
Someone tried to steal his cheese curds is what happened. He was running away.
We have no idea why.
That sounds awful.
I suspect Lisa finally had enough of his stuff and just took a knife out and cut him.
Well, she is pregnant.
And she's Hispanic. And being married to a Hispanic, they will cut you.
So she's Hispanic and pregnant, so that's not a good combination?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, that's a definite cutting waiting to happen. That is for sure.
Well, I was driving over, and I heard you doing the what up B-Town, and I'm like, what the hell? But, hey, at least you got Nick, man.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's why it's always good to have him out here.
It's fun. It's fun to come to Beaumont, man. I mean, the cool thing that I've always appreciated about Beaumont is the fact that when people are sitting here, they're actually in tune to our show more than any other place. And I really genuinely mean that. That's probably the best part about Beaumont.
Yeah, the people over here are the best. And although they sure have a lot of God over here. Have you noticed that?
A lot of God.
I
did pass a Bible school. It wasn't a Christian school. It said Beaumont Bible School.
I went over.
Like, well, that's pretty specific.
Before I came over, I wanted to go do some stuff at my place.
Uh-huh.
And I'm coming back, and there is a Catholic church, and the actual name of it is Infant Jesus.
What?
I can totally get behind that.
Do you think they just didn't know how to spell infant?
No, Infant Jesus.
Infant,
that's a real church.
So the Infant Jesus, the Church of Baby Jesus.
Yeah, if you just drive down 69 here.
And it's on 69?
Yes.
Oh, Baby Jesus on 69 just made me love Beaumont so much more now.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I've always loved Beaumont, but I'm a big fan of Baby Jesus on 69 now. That is outstanding.
Infant Jesus.
Infant Jesus on 69.
But yeah, now I'm totally Ricky Bobby and everything, you know.
I wonder if you go in, like, all the stained glass is just, like, infant Jesus on a tricycle and infant Jesus.
Oh, I want to go. I guarantee you there's going to be a Sunday morning. I'm going.
I always wondered this. I think, I'll confess, not that I'm not, you know, confessing, but I've never read the Bible. But didn't Jesus have siblings? So if you had infant Jesus, wasn't Jesus somebody's baby brother or older brother?
Well,
boy,
I'm pretty sure he was.
He's going in deep today.
We have two popes here. Somebody has to know the answer to this question. Lauren, Aaron, you guys have read the Bible, right? I don't believe that for a second. Y'all drink too much to have read the Bible. There's no way.
There was drinking in the Bible.
There was.
Yeah. Drinking, gambling,
Lauren,
you name it.
Lauren makes wine disappear. She's kind of like Jesus. He made it appear. She makes it disappear. It's kind of the same thing. I always wondered that. Wouldn't that suck if Jesus was your brother, though?
Yeah, how are you going to live up to that?
Right? You're like, hey,
Why can't you be more like your brother?
I learned my ABCs today. I cured the blind kid at school. You're not beating that.
Yeah,
that would suck.
Yeah.
All right, we got plenty more show to get to. We'll be back right after this. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Real quick, I got to tell you about Tight End Sports Bar and Grill on 2502 Gulf Freeway in League City. I've told you guys a bunch about this spot, League City, right there on 45 by Best Buy. I mean, let me tell you, some of the most gorgeous women serving you food from a made-from-scratch kitchen only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. I've told you before about Tito Tuesdays, where you can get any Tito drink for $5. Chicken Alfredo is only served on Wednesdays. That's definitely something you've got to check out. Today is Thirsty Thursday, so what better time to go to Tight End Sports Bar and Grill with the Astros playing at 6 o'clock? Head on over there, 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway, Thirsty Thursdays. And remember, each and every Friday, it's Lingerie Friday. Every Friday, can't miss it. They've got a live DJ, like I told you before. Not just any bar food, a made-from-scratch kitchen, only at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in League City, 2502 Gulf Freeway. 2502 Gulf Freeway, Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. Go check it out.
Well, it's cold.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. We are live out here at Madison's in Beaumont. Get out here, man. We're having a good time. Plenty of seats still available. This is a nice place, man, and they've got $10 Miller Lite and Coors Light buckets for you until 6 p.m. tonight. That's one of the reasons why you need to get out here. The other one is because we're broadcasting live. The Blitz is broadcasting live, and they've got tons of TVs to watch the Astros game. So get out here. The Blitz will be out until 6, and then the Astros will be on the TVs here. So get out here. We're going to have a good time.
So what did you order? What did you end up ordering?
I went, why is that guy screaming at you?
Who's screaming at who?
Oh, is he screaming at me?
That's Shane.
Kind of like, we're working right now. Oh, is that Shane? I don't have my glasses on.
He's heckling you.
Are you heckling me? I swear, I will fight you. Oh, you're big. Never
mind.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
I will have to go get my gun out of the car, Nick. Yeah, I did order.
What did you order?
I got the sampler.
Oh, that's right. You said you were going to go with the sampler.
You get four options on it. So I got the Southwest egg rolls, the nachos, the regular buffalo wings, and the boneless buffalo
wings. I've never heard of nachos being a part of a sampler. That's legit.
Well, that is legit. So that's what I got. I'm going full-on fat boy status.
Yeah, you should. You should. Yep. I'm going to order a little bit later. I'm going to pick off your food
first. No, you're not touching my food. I swear to God. You want to know how Joel got his leg cut and his arm cut?
He touched my food.
And I shanked his ass, so I dare you to touch my nachos. It will be on.
I know. Didn't even touch your bag of lettuce last time, and you got all.
Oh, my God.
You were so livid.
I really was.
But, I'll be ordering a little bit later.
What are you going to get? Do you know?
I don't know
yet. You
going
to get the Monte Cristo? Have you ever had a Monte Cristo?
I'm in the mood for a burger, to be honest with you.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
What?
I was going to be mean. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm not trying.
You should have been.
No, I'm not going to be as mean.
Yeah.
I guess we can We could talk a little football for tonight. Are you
you're watching the Thursday night? No, you're trying to go to the
game. No, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going to the game.
I mean, it's the Giants Patriots. I don't know how interested you are in watching a game like that, but
I think the question becomes is how bad of a blowout is this game going to be? That's literally the only saving grace for this game is if you put action on it. Are you sticking around for that? Because there's no other reason that I would want to watch this game on a Thursday. And it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the season. There's not been that many compelling football games on a Thursday. And the trend continues tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if you're a Giants fan from a Giants fan perspective, you know, the whole timetable with Saquon Barkley, it looks like it's getting a little bit smaller. I guess that's one thing you can be excited about, especially if you're a fantasy owner and you've got him on your bench or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Patriots got this game. I don't see any indication that the Giants will all of a sudden make Brady and the Patriots look bad, but I could be wrong.
It's crazy when you think about the fact that the Patriots are averaging giving up 7 points a game, 6.8 points allowed per game. Their plus minus is just off the charts. I would be surprised. I know that the Giants are scoring, you know, 20 points a game, and a lot of people didn't expect even that out of this offense yet, but I don't see any way they score more than 10 points in this game. I don't think that's going to happen, and I know some people love the fact that they got rid of Eli, or not got rid of him, but benched him, and I just feel like this Giants team, there's without Saquon Barkley, I don't know. I did my little stupid spreadsheet, right, where I make my picks, and I have them. The spreadsheet says 14. I don't believe that. I don't think that they're going to score.
Your spreadsheet?
Yeah. The spreadsheet says 27-14 is the final score.
For the Patriots, correct.
Yeah. I don't know that the Giants score two touchdowns. They might get a field goal maybe late. I feel like this is probably, you know, 31-10, something like that.
Yeah, and not only that, I think that they're missing four. He's missing four offensive weapons. So not just from a running back standpoint. Daniel Jones is going to face a massive challenge without all the – considering how young he is and how new he is to this game, it's not going to be easy and as seamless to not have the normal weapons that he has around him and go up against a Patriots defense who, mind you, has shown some – that they can really perform, especially from a fantasy perspective too. I think the Patriots defense has gotten me at least 30 points twice or 20 points twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I just – you know, Thursday night footballs are not really my thing because a lot of times it's not that exciting. I do tune in, but for the most part, I mean, I'm just going to be probably catching the second half of that game, and that's only if the score is compelling.
What is the spread? It was 17 when I did. Yeah, it's still 17
for the
right
Patriots.
Now.
Are you still doing Vegas Insider or no?
I go there like on the day after Monday. Usually on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll go to Vegas Insider, get the consensus. And
because ever since
that's
AJ.
What I'll use. Yeah, that's what I'll use to plug into the spreadsheet because it varies. I just like that as being, you know, since it is a consensus over-under, I'll kind of base everything off that. I try to update it one more time throughout the week. But right now, according to ESPN, it's still at 17. Patriots are minus 1,500 on the money line. That's ridiculous.
It's minus 17 on Vegas Insider as well. So
over-under at 42.5. It's a Thursday game, and I guess if I'm saying 31-10 or 27-10, then I'm taking the under, and that's pretty much what the crunch in the number says as well is to take the under. The 42 is probably what it's at, and right now it sits at 43.5. So,
yeah, like I said, I just don't see the Giants
42.5,
putting up
say.
That many points. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be tempted. I mean, I'm not necessarily a gambling expert, but I'd be tempted to take the under. I just don't see the Giants scoring that many points on this Patriots defense only in this game. But
man, when you see a spread of 17, I don't even know that I would even consider betting the game.
I'm with you.
What I try to do is every week I try to pick every game and then just keep track of my record for the week.
How have you – because you mentioned it, I think, two shows ago.
Yeah,
or a week ago.
So I am sitting at 43-34 for the year.
Look at you.
Yeah. Actually, 43-34-1. I have a push.
Okay.
I had a push last week. And then what I started doing is this is the first week last week that I started picking the over-unders, and I went 8-6 doing that. So, yeah, you know, and I'll take what I do is when I do the spreadsheet, I get these variances, like a total number. And if it's anything more than like a negative two or a positive two, I just kind of assign unit values to all that. It's weird. But basically, I'd be up 14 units right now through week five. If I bet every game.
Have you ever done that where you've bet every single
No, game? Hell no. Because there's a lot of games
be
where
broke.
You wouldn't touch.
I'd be absolutely broke.
Yeah.
I'm just not that. Oh, he's a gambler too. Yeah, that's why he's always talking to AJ.
He will bet every game.
What are you doing? You're like, are you that guy where you're like, let me get $3 on this Patriots Giants game? Let me get $250. Like, you got like $20 in your account, and you're just divvying it up 15
that's
different
actually
ways
me.
Every week.
I love that he's how she's throwing him under the bus.
Yeah,
right.
Right? Just murdering him. So.
Hey, you got. I don't know about those bad weeks because let me tell you, I will not gamble that consistently. I just cannot do it. So, more power to you.
I think that's the thing is when you get guys. Like,
I'm totally trying one of those.
No,
wings.
You're not touching.
I'm trying
any of
one
this.
Of those wings,
bro. I swear.
You better
I will
not go to
you.
The bathroom.
This will. I'm going to after I eat all that.
Better keep your eye on your plate, bro.
Don't
it's a
worry.
Sampler. You're supposed to sample. You're supposed to give people food.
No,
look, the promotion team wants some.
No.
See, he wants some too.
It's my sampler. I swear to God, I will fight everyone in this Madison's if you come near my food. I promise you. Let me get my gun. Where is my gun? Yeah, this looks really good. See, and you were surprised at nachos being on the plate. That ain't bad.
Well, for a sampler, I've never seen it on a. I mean, I'm pretty sure it exists in other restaurants, but I'm pretty sure I just never seen it that often. By the way, we have Sigmund Bloom coming up, right?
Yeah, 2:30. If you have fantasy questions, we were talking about the. Actually, you know what? I don't know. Being on remote, I think Joel reached out to him and said no.
Oh,
I think
okay.
Joel told him that we weren't going to do it this week because it's going to be hard to get all the calls in. So
okay,
we'll postpone it. Maybe
so
I
just
can
give him a follow on Twitter because he answers questions that way.
Well, what I might do is I might hit him up tonight and see if we can get him tomorrow. We'll see if he can reschedule. So we'll do that. But, yeah, normally we would have Sigmund Bloom at 2:30. I think Joel reached out to him since he wasn't doing nothing else today, lazy.
So we'll just double up because we'll have Sigmund Bloom, if he's willing. Yeah. We'll have Sigmund Bloom tomorrow and then Sarah Barshop
at 3:30. There you go.
To preview what the Texans are going to do.
All right, that's enough. I'm going to eat this food. We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough. Just can't get enough.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. It is The Usual Suspects. Joel is out. It is Barry. It is Nick. And now it is AJ Hoffman.
What are you mad at me for?
I'm not mad at you.
Okay.
I mean, I hate you, but I'm not mad at you.
Right.
We have this love-hate relationship that we've had for, what, 10 years now?
Something like that. I like to think of myself today as Clayton Kershaw. Like, you guys have
you're going to come in and ruin the show?
You guys played a pretty good show. You had a pretty good episode.
Okay.
And
I'm going to
come just,
in here
and, come here and light it on fire.
Not lose the game.
Yeah, I'm just going to put you guys in neutral,
yeah.
And then I'm going to put Nick back in, and he's going to give up the grand slam.
He's going to, okay. Yeah, because we brought Fred in with a lead, and now we were fine after that, but now it's all.
Oh, yeah, I'm bringing this mother down.
Were you surprised at that at all? I know you love you some Clayton Kershaw.
Dude, I mean, it's
tough. Do you love you some postseason Clayton Kershaw?
Obviously not. I mean, it's the difference is night and day, and even, like, I was telling my wife how crazy, like how good he is. Because my wife doesn't watch baseball unless it's the Astros. Mm-hmm. She'll watch every once in a while. She'll watch a Mariners game, but then the postseason. Because I'm watching so much in the postseason that she doesn't really have a choice. And I was explaining to her last night that this is a guy who, for his career, is under 2.5 ERA.
Yeah,
I mean
2.44.
There's not many guys like that in the history of baseball that have had a career as long as his. And have been as consistently great as him.
A whip right at one.
He
it's
is
crazy.
What he's going to end up being is Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be the guy who piles up all the numbers. He is a historically great pitcher. He is a no doubter Hall of Famer. He is probably the best pitcher of this generation. And he just can't do it in the playoffs for whatever reason, and I don't know.
It's obviously mental, right? I mean, it has
clearly.
To be mental.
And I'll be honest. That picture of him.
So
on the,
sad.
Dude, I feel so bad for that guy.
It reminded me of Forrest Gump. It really did. He looked like Gump just sitting on a bench like, oh, man.
And honestly,
Mama said there'd be days like this.
I said this on the show that I don't really care who wins that series because I'd like to see Scherzer have a shot at a ring too because that's another guy who's like a historically great pitcher who hasn't been able to get over that hump. And, you know, one of those two guys is the best pitcher of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And there's not another person in the contest. There's no other pitcher in the last 10 years that's been as good as Scherzer and Kershaw. So, you know, one of them had to go. And, it's happened to Kershaw so many times. And you see him there like,
well, what's funny is
dejected.
You remember last year in the NLDS, he went 8 and didn't give up a run. And so you're thinking, okay, he's figured it out.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't. And then he has he pitches poor two more outings in the postseason, including the World Series, and now he's right back to being
and what's
the
worse
Kershaw
is
that
now,
we know in the postseason.
Like, and Kershaw is still great. Don't get me wrong. Kershaw would still be the best pitcher on a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. He's not the best pitcher on the Dodgers anymore.
Oh, no.
Walker Buehler is a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy
he was
is,
dealing. Six. He went 6 2/3, one earned run.
He's and the only, they took him out because his pitch count got up.
Yeah.
So, and he was up to, he's a young guy. They're not looking to blow this guy out. So he was up to 100, almost
117.
107.
Yeah.
They're, you know, that's a good outing for that kid.
I let him get that last out, though. If you're at one, what's the difference between 117 and 125 at that point?
I think they were looking
it's
to get the lefty matchup. And
yeah, but it's Kershaw.
Well, Kershaw got that out.
Yeah, but. Well,
that's the one he got.
Yeah,
like,
But you know, I don't know. If I'm managing that team, it's kind of like what we talked about with AJ Hinch. I don't know where you stood on letting Justin Verlander go on short rest. I was against it. I didn't think that he was going to have a good game. In fact, I said they would be lucky if he goes 5 and gives up 4, and he went 3 2/3 and gave up 4. And sometimes guys are what they are in the postseason, what they are on short rest.
Older guys especially. I'm not looking to give an older guy his first start on short rest. That said, I also understand the position that AJ is in where –
if he demands the ball.
Your best player is saying, hey, give me the ball.
Yeah.
But don't you have to,
hey, look, we're saving you for game 5. And if that, you're going to start game 1 of the ALCS.
But this is Verlander saying, hey, I'm not looking to pitch in game 5. I'm looking to get this over with. And I feel like
you have to, though, and I get it. The counterpoint is it's kind of like we talk about moving Michael Brantley out of the lineup, moving him to the 7, 8, 9 hole. You got to deal with these guys all next year, too, or maybe 2 years down the road. So, you know, one game, is it worth it to lose these guys, lose their confidence and lose their trust in you as a manager? Or do you just go, well, it's Justin Verlander?
Well, my thought was I would throw Verlander for an inning if that's what he wanted. And if he didn't have it, I'd go to Urquidy. And I think that was their plan as well. I think they didn't realize that. I think when I say didn't have it, I expected it to look like the second and third innings looked, where he didn't look good, but he wasn't giving
out.
It up.
Yeah.
You know, but the first inning was just so abysmal that now you're like, well, what are we going to do? Burn up our whole bullpen knowing that we've got to play a game 5? Can't do that. So they get some length out of Verlander, which I didn't like because you could tell the whole time he was out there he was just average.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't good.
He missed in the zone. He never misses
He threw a pitch over Chirinos that the umpire, like you could tell, and I know from coaching youth baseball, umpires don't like it if the ball almost hits them. And the umpire like gave Chirinos a look. It wasn't Chirinos' fault. I mean, he probably should have caught the ball, but that's how bad the pitch was that a professional catcher missed the ball altogether, and it skims by the umpire.
But I don't know what the thought was. I mean, you weren't going to get more than 5 innings out of Verlander on short rest anyways.
Right.
And it probably wasn't going to be a great 5 innings. So, to me –
well, I think once it was 4-0, they said, let's just get our 5 innings. Let's try to save the bullpen as much as we can.
But they got 3 2/3 out of him. I mean, so you to me, it would have been much better just, you know what – throw Urquidy out there, and if he gives you 2 or 3 innings and maybe gives up a run or two, if you need to bring in Verlander because it's close at the end of the game, you can do that. Well, you have other options.
And Fred mentioned this on our show that, you know, maybe for Verlander it comes down to comfort. Is he more comfortable starting on short rest or coming out of the bullpen?
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously he's not got a lot of experience doing either. Yeah. But maybe that's what he told AJ was, hey, I'd be more comfortable pitching on short rest than, you know, bringing me out there in the fifth inning in a 1-1 game. Yeah. I'm not really comfortable with that. But, I mean, it's – and by the way, Fred, it was Jason Witten, hindsight's 50-50, during his – it was Jason Witten, John Gruden, and Cam Newton.
Yeah, all of them said hindsight's 50-50?
Hindsight's 50-50, which is my new favorite term. But in hindsight is 50-50 in this situation that, yeah, would it be great to go back and say, we'll go with Urquidy?
Sure.
The reality is I don't think the Astros were winning that game because the Rays were better than them.
Yeah.
And
they're not
they couldn't hit.
Yeah.
So if you can't hit,
unless
Urquidy
in that bullpen wasn't going to give up a single run.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see that. But so and now we're in a spot where, you know, this is the beauty of AJ making that decision is if the worst case scenario happens, we've got the second best pitcher in the league on our team.
Yeah,
so
going in game five.
Yeah, if not the best. I mean, depending on how you look at it. So he probably thought it was kind of a minimum risk situation.
Does watching last night and seeing two home teams go down scare you?
Should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're telling me – and it's easy to say, you know, Mike Foltynewicz has been good.
He was really good.
And had you told me that was going to happen to him?
What was it, seven runs, six earned, and
six
got
earned
one
and
out?
One third of an inning.
Yeah, he got an out.
He got one out.
I would have never guessed that in a million years.
I mean, so you can say he doesn't have the pedigree that some of those other guys do, but he's still really good. Walker Buehler is, I think he's in the discussion for best pitcher in the National League. And I think he's going to be in that discussion for many years to come. He pitched great. It still wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole could go out there. He could give up seven runs in the first inning. Gerrit Cole could go out there and be damn near perfect for seven innings, hand it off to whoever, and that guy could get lit up. It's just that's baseball, and that's kind of the beauty of it, man. And that's why I hear some of these other shows talking about, you know, and we discussed how big of a disappointment it would be on our show. I don't know if you can say it's a choke job because in these situations, these two teams, there's not – I mean, 10 games over the course of 162 separating two teams, it's not all that much. And it's all about who's hot at the right time and things like that. And losing three games out of five happens to every single baseball team. And that's why the baseball playoffs, you see teams more often than in any other sport win – that are underdogs going in. And like in the NFL, it's pretty rare. In the NBA, it almost never happens because four out of seven series, like it's just really hard to do that. Same with hockey. But these three out of five, these short series, man, it's almost a crapshoot, and it's been on what pitcher's hot.
Well, and that's the thing. Here's part of the problem. Well, not part of the problem. Part of the beauty of postseason baseball is I tweeted this the other day. In October, those last three outs – are the hardest outs to get in baseball when it's in October.
That's why Mariano Rivera is like the most valuable weapon in postseason
history. It's because it's down to an individual. Yeah. In basketball and in football, you know, closing out the fourth quarter, that's a team sport. But getting those three outs comes down to what does your pitcher do against that batter. Yeah. And it can be hard to find the strike zone when you're nervous or when you're tight. And these guys are professionals, but that's still big to have to do that. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Baseball is such a rhythm game that, like, you know, you have a couple good games in a row, everybody's in a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, everybody – like, usually if one or two guys are hitting, especially key guys, everybody's
hitting. It's
contagious, yeah. If one or two guys are really struggling, it's not unusual for everybody to struggle. And right now the Astros are struggling. And that's what worries me about this game.
I compared the Dodgers with Seager and some of the guys that struggled in this postseason to
The entire Astros outfield is a struggle. There's not one of them who's been even good, much less much less great. None of them, not one. So when that's happening, I mean your lineup is, and let's face it, the Rays. If the Astros don't have the best pitching in the American League, it's the Rays. It's one of those two teams, and it depends on how much you value bullpen versus how much you value starting pitcher. And the guy that they're going up against tonight, Tyler Glasnow, I said this on our show, if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, it might be a discussion of Cole, Verlander, and Glasnow for Cy Young.
That's good. How
great he was early in the season before he got hurt.
You know,
and the thing for them tonight, he's going to be on a pitch count because he has been since he came back.
Yeah.
He hadn't gone more than four of a third since he came back. The first time he tried to go more than four and a third, Altuve took him into the Crawford boxes. I'm guessing he'll pitch four innings tonight, and I'm guessing they give the ball to Charlie Morton.
Yeah, and get a couple more innings out of him.
That's scary. If the Astros aren't in a rhythm and they're facing Glasnow, who really couldn't hit before.
Yeah.
Before Altuve took him, they had some hits off of him, but they were all like little beating the shift, dink and dunk hits. They weren't beating him up, and then Morton, who just owned them. I mean, if that takes up six or seven innings, and then you hand it off to the best bullpen in the game.
Well, but here's the problem. Last night, watching the game, I made the comment. I was like, well, now it's up to the bullpens between the Nats and the Dodgers, and it's not even close. That's advantage Dodgers all day, every day. And look what happened.
Did the Dodgers go directly to their bullpen?
Well, no.
No, they went to two starters. That sometimes in the playoffs, managers overmanage.
Kelly giving up a grand slam? I would have never seen that coming in a million years. So you just never know.
One swing, man.
That is the beauty of playoff baseball. All right, we got plenty more on the show. This is Usual Suspects. We'll be back right after this, ESPN 97.5.
It's been cold. This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It is The Usual Suspects. We are live out here in Beaumont at Madison's. Get out here. This is a great place to watch the game. If you were looking for a spot to come and view the Astros, this is it. They've got $10 Miller Lite and Coors Light buckets until 6 p.m. That's when the Astros game starts, and the Blitz is going to be out here following us. And then they're going to be preempted by the Astros as well. But it's a great place. They've got TVs at the
now
booths.
You see how it feels?
What?
We feel what you feel. I know you guys were all mad because the Astros were kicking you off the air a couple times last week.
Yeah.
We're getting kicked off the air, too.
Oh,
so
I feel like you're okay with that. Let me preface this by saying 3 years ago, I think you and Fred would have been upset. As much as y'all work now, I'm sure you're probably okay with getting off an hour early.
Dude, as much as we work now, the show is like the only part of our work that's any fun.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's the only time I don't have to be like all buttoned up and
mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have people all pissed off at me. I swear everybody who works at the station is pissed off at me all the time. I mean,
what? This is what you signed up for, right?
Yeah.
You're like, yep, I'll do it.
Yeah. Luckily, I just don't. I don't care when people are mad at me.
That's
true. I'm pretty good about that. But
sure, except your wife, right?
Except her.
Yeah.
And
the kids.
I don't care about that.
You don't care when your kids are mad at you?
No.
Why? They're your kids.
You don't have kids. You don't understand.
No.
When my cats
were alive, though. Oh God, it was heartbreaking if they were upset with me.
They were always upset with you.
They're cats.
Every time they pooped on the floor, they were showing you.
No, he was lazy.
You.
He wasn't mad. He was
we hate
lazy.
You.
He had arthritis. He didn't want to walk,
oh,
AJ.
Oh, please. He did that because he hated
you. Wait till you get arthritis. You're going to start pooping on the floor, and then your wife's going to be mad at you.
And it'll be deserved. It'll be deserved. No one should poop on the floor. Not allowed in my house.
Really?
Nope.
So your dogs never poop on the floor?
Hell no.
You have a cat too, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I know your cat doesn't poop on the floor because you would.
It'd be gone. Yeah, euthanize it.
You wouldn't get rid of your. You would euthanize your cat
if it was so like, I mean, if it was an old ass cat that was
like
getting
mine.
Yeah, I've told you for years. You should have put that cat down.
No, you're just a
that's
mean
a bad
person.
Quality of life.
You're just a no. He was enjoying himself.
Do you want to be that?
What
when you're in your 70s, 80s?
He was 98.
Okay. When you're walking around in your 80s and you're walking and then you just poop your pants. You're like, oh, damn it. I've done it again.
I've always said when people are like, what?
I've done it again, Nora. You want to live that kind of life?
I mean, look, people have all, you know how people are like, if you could be any animal, what would it be? Mine was a horse for two reasons. I'll let you figure out reason number one. But reason number two is they poop wherever they want. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're just walking down the street. You're like, you know what? I got to poop. They don't even stop walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That would be fine with me. Pick something that would bother me.
That would bother you.
Would not bother me.
It would bother you.
Nah.
If you're walking around in public and you just poop your pants.
Boom, right there.
You know, boy, did you see that video?
I would be so famous. I would be viral. Everybody would be like,
did you see the video of the woman in the grocery store?
No.
Have you seen that video, Nick? The woman in the grocery store?
I promise you there's no not. More ratchet video than what I'm about to tell you.
She's got to go so bad. Like, you could tell she's like, she's nervous.
Yeah.
And she's clearly, you can tell by the length of her shorts that she's like a super trashy white lady.
Okay.
And she's like real jittery. She's looking around, looks all around. And then she ducks down behind one of the, like, you know, the coolers that are like waist level that you like,
they
put
cream
meat
in.
And stuff in. Yeah. She ducks down behind one of those. She pulls her shorts to the side.
What?
Just explodes on the grocery store floor.
Oh, this makes me not want to eat my sampler now.
Lets her shorts go and walks off.
What?
Yeah.
Just, no wiping?
No wiping. There's no time for it. She just had to go that bad.
What?
She had to go that bad. She needed release that bad.
That's
Do you want to be that guy in the grocery store?
I mean,
you don't want to be that. You're going to be wearing like super long cargo shorts and high socks.
Yeah, that's what the pockets are for in the cargo shorts. You poop in those pockets.
And it's just going to slide down your white socks. Ah, yeah. Oh, my socks stained again, Nora.
That's why you wear black socks with your sandals. You never have to worry about it.
My Crocs feel squishy. What's happening?
That's pretty gross, but that's not the most ratchet video I've seen was yesterday. So a buddy of mine on Twitter, it was a chick at a festival, like at a concert,
okay.
Right? And she's wearing a onesie, and it's very loose. And she's dancing, and she's twerking a little bit, as well as white girls can twerk.
I saw this video.
As well as white girls can twerk, she's twerking. So it wasn't great, but every once in a while, she would just grab her boob for no reason.
Because she wasn't wearing a bra,
right.
so she was
trying to make it sexy, right?
It almost looked like she was wearing a tank top more than a onesie, but it was a onesie.
Yeah.
But it was like very loose fitting.
And she would kind of mess with her breast, and then she'd go back to dancing. And then she turns around, pulls her breast out, and starts squirting milk on the crowd.
Yeah.
With both breasts. She's just like a shotgun, like a double-barrel shotgun.
Is that the worst part to you?
No. Okay. The worst part is the other white girl that runs in, kneels down in front of her, and starts drinking the milk out of the air. What? That is the most ratchet thing I have ever seen in my whole life.
Wow.
At first I was like, that's kind of hot. All right. When she pulled her breast out, I was like, yes. And then she started squirting milk. And first of all,
you don't like that, huh?
I don't like that. But second of all, because there was no control.
It does a body good.
But you ever seen one of those sprinklers?
It's like a broken sprinkler head.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's like trying to pee in the morning when
the morning after. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it looked like somebody was watering a golf course. It was all over the place. I didn't like that. But then when the girl came up and just started getting showered in it, oh, God, that was so ratchet.
Yeah.
That's why you say no to drugs, because that causes you to do weird, like, milk showers and stuff.
Well, that's, like I said, that's your people.
I'm out on that. did you see this story where the Chiefs were practicing, and they were going up, they were getting ready for the Texans, and getting ready to face the Texans' offensive line? So on the sidelines, they wanted to mimic having to face the Texans O-line. So they put out 5 trash cans and put pictures of the Texans offensive line. Each one had its own trash can. And I was like, well, I don't know if they're doing that on purpose or not, but I don't even know if it's ironic. It's just kind of truthful.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, who gave up 0 sacks last week, Barry?
Deshaun Watson. His escapability
here we go.
Actually making decisions
when
to get rid of the
ball.
Yeah,
when it's when he gets sacked 100 times, it's the O-line. When he gets sacked 0 times, it's Deshaun Watson. I mean, but let's face it, the O-line is not very good. That said,
that was pretty funny, though.
Who do the Chiefs think they are?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, your O-line ain't all that great. Secondly, I don't know what your defense is going to do against that trashy O-line.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to go in and dominate that O-line. I think that whole game rides on the health of Patrick Mahomes.
You think
so?
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes can move around and he's healthy and he's even at 90%, they can run the Texans out of there. But if he's what he was in the second half against the Colts and he's just a statue.
Is this a no-doubt over for you? In the game?
No, only because of that. Because if Patrick Mahomes isn't himself,
If he's healthy. If he's healthy,
oh, if he's healthy, it should be an over.
Is this an over?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of how bad these secondaries are and how bad these defenses are?
To me, it's a lot like last week, except the Chiefs are a better version of the Falcons.
Yeah, offensively.
The Falcons are a team who they're going to get their points. They're going to get their yards. They throw the ball around. They put up numbers offensively. And against the Texans secondary, you know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're horrible on defense, and they were in the same boat. They did the best that they could to say, you know what, somebody besides DeAndre Hopkins has got to beat us. And the Texans were like,
Will Fuller, is that okay?
Hey, Will Fuller's here today. He's not broken up in a pile of bones on the sideline. Well, look what he can do. And they took advantage of it. So I think it's a very similar situation. I mean, obviously the Chiefs are way better than the Falcons. The Falcons are a bad team. Mm-hmm. But they just have a more explosive offense. I don't think that their defense is significantly better than the Falcons or the Texans, for that matter.
Yeah.
But the way to beat the Chiefs is to run the ball on them effectively.
Keep Mahomes in that offense.
It'll depend on if the Texans can do that or not.
I mean, they did against the Falcons. You know, they had over their two studs, I guess, had over 100 yards against that Falcons defense. So
they're two studs.
Yeah, well, it's their studs. I'm not saying they are studs.
Okay.
It's their studs.
I mean, they're being very. Let's just throwing that word around willy nilly.
Their studs.
But the problem is if you run the ball and you get stopped against that Chiefs team, they're probably going to score.
Yeah.
Assuming Mahomes is healthy, and then if you get down two touchdowns. Now you're one-dimensional, and the Chiefs, they're used to that. They're used to stopping one-dimensional offenses, and that's where the Texans would get into some trouble. But, if they have some early running success, I think that they'll do fine, and it should be a very high-scoring game.
All right, we got a lot more to get to. That's two in the books, one to go. You want to do it? You want the honors?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Two in the rear?
Nope. Two in the
one
books.
In the, one in the stink?
To go. Nope. Two... Just say the last part. Plenty
one
more,
in the stink.
Plenty more of the What's Big this? Show. We'll be the back
big,
right after this.
The Big Show.
ESPN.
What up, H-Town?